From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session. JPR Live sessions from afar. And my guest today is Laura Marling, who has just released a beautiful new record called Song for Our Daughter. Information is at lauramarling.com, and she joins me from her home in Northeast London. Hello, welcome.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell me what home has been like for you over the last month and a half.
It's been a bit of an emotional roller coaster, but fine, you know, much the same.
Are you in a quiet neighborhood or can you actually hear the sounds of the city?
I actually live in the center of the sort of Orthodox Jewish part of London. So it's quite amazing, actually, because all the temples are shut. So a couple of times a day you hear them praying, which is kind of a unique experience of lockdown.
So with everything shut down, what has your comfort been?
Oh, that's a good... I mean, I'm mostly fueled by walking and reading in coffee shops. So I just really strict routine is what's brought me comfort, I guess.
So have you shifted to home brewing?
I've given up coffee.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That was a weird choice, actually. I forgot about that. I had a
three-day... How's that going?
Yeah, I had a three-day like detox, awful time. I don't know why I did that, but I decided I won't waste my time drinking coffee anymore for some reason. Mm.
You know, having followed your career from a distance for many years now, more than a decade, it seems like throughout you have been to some extent an introvert. Mm-hmm. Is this current situation playing to your personality traits a bit?
I guess so. It's interesting because I think my particular brand of introversion is more like a product of proximity to people, because I think my favorite situation to be in is in a room next to a room full of people I love, you know, and it is quite hard not having any proximity to people that you love. I mean, I live with two people who I love, but it hasn't, you know, I think the introversion is fine as long as you have that proximity to people quite often.
Hmm. Yeah. So does that idea or concept of having some sort of barrier between you and quote unquote them, does that manifest itself when you're on stage then?
I guess so. I guess that's the sort of ultimate manifestation of it. Yeah. Nice.
That there's a physical barrier or sometimes an imaginary barrier between where you are and where they all are.
Yeah. I guess that keeps, you know, to some extent, it's like a version of not having to explain yourself on a huge scale, you know, obviously on a stage, which is nice.
Well, I know I want to get to this in a few minutes. You have been doing some really interesting guitar tutorials on Instagram over the last couple of weeks. But I want to go back in time because you started as a guitarist or singing first?
I started as a guitarist. I was always quite a reluctant singer when I was younger. So my dad was a guitarist. I don't know. I just didn't like the sort of performance of it, I think. I liked being in the background.
With a barrier in between you
exactly.
and them.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that you, in an interview at one point, you talked about people trying to take the guitar out of your hands at one point. That they didn't think that it was for you, or they didn't think it was the right direction for you, and you stuck to your guns.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that's been actually, you know, thankfully a rare occurrence. But I think that there's just a slight feeling among people that for a woman, it's more dispensable. You could get that it's more acceptable to get rid of the guitar. But for me, the guitar and the voice are so connected. They're one thing, really. Hmm.
So for a while, you were connected to the new folk scene in London, Knowing the Whale, Mumford for a while. And you talked about really not enjoying being part of a scene because of its effect on your individuality.
Yeah, I think I really struggle with being called folk music. And it makes me sound kind of like a sort of curmudgeon, but I don't mean to cast aspersions on folk music or anybody who likes folk music, but it was never what I was interested in. And the new folk sort of title just cringed me out a bit. I just find any kind of category a bit cringe.
I mean, if not folk, what did you see yourself, you know, where did you see yourself? What category?
I think the one I'm all right with is the one I'd like to be is alternative, but in truth, the one that's appropriate is probably just songwriter.
Hmm.
I guess it is, you know, it depends what your concept is, isn't it? It's all a bit of structuralism, really.
Yeah, it's all just a label.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to hear music. I know that you have a recording studio in your basement, right?
It's currently, I've moved it up to my living room for sort of aesthetic purposes. But yes, I do have a studio in my basement, yeah.
And convenience, I would imagine, right?
Yes, yeah.
Do you do a lot of recording yourself, or do you have a magic elf in the background helping you on the technical side?
Well, right now it's all by myself, obviously, but sometimes I have a magic elf. Sometimes I send it to a magic elf.
And what do you have to share with us first?
I think I'll do Song for Our Daughter.
I love it.
Yeah.
This is Laura Marling playing live for us here on JPR.
Though they may want you to tread in their trail, only to see if the path they set fails. Though they may want you to take off your clothes, whatever they think that the action exposed. With your clothes on the floor, taking advice from some old balding boy, you will ask yourself, did I want this at all? You remember what I said. The book I left by your bed, the words that some survivor read. Lately I've been thinking about our daughter growing old, and all of the bullshit that she might be told. There's blood on the floor. Maybe now you believe her for sure. She remembers what I said, and the book I left by her bed, the words that some survivor read. So they may take you for all you had left. You won't be forgotten for what you had not done yet. So you wish for a kiss from God, and you mourn in your childish loss. Innocence gone, but it's not forgot. You cut your way through it somehow, and they'll remember what you said. The book you left by your bed,
It is a melody that sticks with you. I think I've had it in my head for a few days now. That is the title track, Song for Our Daughter. Laura Marling is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. The new record is out on Chrysalis and Partisan, depending on where you are in the world. Information can be found online at lauramarling.com. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Such a pretty tune. There is no literal daughter, correct?
No literal daughter.
Okay. It is a figurative daughter and stories that, from one conversation that I listened to of yours, it's almost as if these are stories that you're telling to yourself in the past.
Yeah, I guess I have this slightly unusual experience in that I have 5 or 6 now chapters of my life sort of consecrated into an eternal form. So I do have this kind of slightly heightened relationship with younger versions of myself that are somewhat sororital, I guess.
You said about this record that it is a strange story about the fragmentary, nonsensical experience of trauma, but then gave very few specifics. Do you think at some point that there will be a time when you do?
No, I don't think there will be. And I don't think there needs to be, really. I mean, in truth, I sort of wrote that. That was a statement that I wrote to sort of announce that the album was coming out early. And it was in response to having listened to the album for the first time since we mixed it a couple of months ago and sort of suddenly seeing it as a whole, which all quite often happens, and sort of correlating it with what, you know, what I thought I was trying to say and what I actually ended up saying, again, which is always the way. So, yeah, I don't think it's necessary to have the sort of biographical background to it. And I don't like to know about people anyway, you know. I mean, in a sort of, in an artistic sense.
So are you comfortable then, like, wrapping yourself and your stories inside your art?
Yes. I mean, they are stories. It is fiction, you know. It's not, to call it anything else would reduce it to a kind of therapy, which it's not. It's a sort of fantasy, you know, story, yeah. I think.
I mean, as much as we just talked, as much as these songs are stories, they are rooted to some degree in experiences and events. As you have gotten older and have been doing this now for, what, almost 15 years, right? Mm-hmm. Since you first started making music. Does your rising self-confidence allow you to be more vulnerable in the stories that you share in song?
Certainly it does. Yeah. And I wasn't really aware that that was going to be sort of, that seems to have been the response to this album, that it is more vulnerable. And I think that's a good thing. Yeah.
You wrote a lot of this while at home.
I did. Yeah. This is the first time I've written an album while not being on tour.
What effect did that have? Are the stories or songs more fully fleshed out than the narratives that you had when you write in tidbits on the road?
I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe they're more considered. And because I had the studio for the first time, I spent more time with them considering whether they were worthy or not, I guess, and chopping them up a bit, which I don't generally do.
The singing style on this record feels, I don't know if nonchalant is the right word, but it feels very casual at times. There's a, like, an effortless casualness to it where some of the notes are not held the way they might have been held on previous records. You just let the air taper off, and it becomes so much more intimate, as if you're almost, I don't know, rehearsing the songs rather than recording them in a final version.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that intentional?
This is products of a couple of things. I think, you know, people that I've worked with from when I was young have always been very key, like Ethan Johns, who I've worked with, who's a producer, works on tape. And on tape, you only get 3 takes. And the idea is that you're supposed to get it in the first 3 takes. So that's always been my way of doing things, is to get either the first, second or third take, which is that, and enjoy the mistakes that are made in those takes. But also, I do have a bit of, I think it's not a criticism of people who do this kind of style. It's more, it's just a part of my hang up. I don't like over the top sincerity and performativity. I think it reads as really insincere. So I prefer the informality and the nonchalance in life in general.
Will you share another song with us?
Yes. Yeah.
What's next?
I think I'll do Strange Girl.
Ah, we know this one well. This is Laura Marling playing live for us here at JPR.
Get all your records out and throw them all away. No one left to listen to and much left less to say. Are you working hard? I'm getting on, still not getting paid. Stay low, keep brave. You woke up in a country who refused to hold your hand. Kept filing for narcissists to insist you call the man. Work late for a job you hate, which never fit the plan. Stay low, keep brave. I love you, my strange girl, my lonely girl, my angry girl, my brave. I love you, my strange girl, my lonely girl, my angry girl. A garden and have something to attend. Cut off our relations, cause you cannot stand your friends. Announce yourself a socialist and have something to defend. Oh, young girl, please don't bullshit me. I love you, my strange girl, my lonely girl. All away. You're changing all the time, and it starts to blur the line that's supposed to keep you safe. And you roll like a tide wave. And you roll like a tide wave.
That one is called Strange Girl, one of the more up-tempo, bouncy tunes from the new record of Laura Marling called Song for Our Daughter. It's out on Chrysalis and Partisan here in the States. LauraMarling.com is the web address. I mentioned earlier these guitar tutorials that you have been doing. Mm. Social media and you have never been partners in crime until recently, it would seem.
Yes, that's part of my performative sincerity problem, yeah.
What was the motivation behind you starting to show people how to play your songs?
Well, when the lockdown happened, it felt very, I mean, it still is very, you know, serious, but it felt very, very serious. And I just suddenly thought, I've got nothing to offer. I don't want to do, you know, awful sounding live shows from my living room. So I thought that guitar tutorials were kind of a nice, clear, you know, this is what I'm here to do, and yeah, I hope you can get something out of it kind of thing. And that's what it's been.
Hmm. You mentioned once that you thought social media held a version of you in one finite space forever.
Yes.
You have released 7 albums that are all snapshots of you at one time in your life.
That's
how do you feel good about those being out in the universe?
Touché. I guess, you know, there's quite some difference between the consideration and, you know, preparation and thought that I put into an album and and a social media post. But I do, you know, I find it weird. And I'm so involved in it now. I'm like, you know, I have to be on it at least once a week. And I see the fun of it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. But it's, I also see the, like, the crazy facade of everything is, and how quickly it's been sort of assimilated into acceptable parts of living.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a rant that I'll save for someone else.
I mean, I've talked to a number of folks that are in your position of reluctantly dipping their toe into the social media world as a performing artist. And it seems like there's the difference between the social media persona of Laura Marling.
Yeah.
And your participation in social media as simply Laura.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, well, family, friends.
Yeah, there's that. Exactly. There's, you know, that's the same as, you know, yeah, exactly. That applies to me as an artist and as a person as well.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What do you find interesting about your world, both before and during this, that no one ever seems to ask you about?
Oh, what do I find interesting about my world?
Yeah. Yeah, what holds your attention? What captivates you? What are you passionate about outside of your profession?
Well, right now I'm studying, so I'm doing a lot of reading about psychoanalysis. And I guess I'm passionate
about that. This is a
master's
program, right?
It's a master's, yeah.
Yeah.
And that is my, you know, that has been my hobby interest for a couple of years. So that's my other thing that I do, yeah.
A number of years ago, you hosted a podcast.
Yes.
Called Reversal of the Muse.
Yeah.
I think the last episode was published in like 2016.
Yeah.
Is that something that you could see yourself going back to?
Yeah, I really enjoyed doing it. I felt like there was a fundamental problem with the concept of it. Maybe, and this is maybe a sign that I overthink things, is that, you know, I wanted to find a way to, the subject matter was, what is the experience of being a woman in the creative industries and why aren't there more women? And, you know, behind the scenes, I mean, like as engineers and producers and session musicians, and why is there such an imbalance and how does knowledge get passed around in a way that maybe excludes women, which is also part of the way that why I do guitar tutorials, because I think that should be free and available to everybody. But also I don't, you know, I want it to transcend gender. I don't want it to be totally gendered, and that obviously just puts me in a complete double bind. So until I find my way out of that double bind, I won't do another series, but I hope to. I will do, hopefully. Yeah.
I'm so grateful you had time to talk to me today. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, my pleasure.
Laura Marling is my guest on JPR Live Sessions. Her newest record is called Song for Our Daughter, released early in the middle of a pandemic, the way everyone suggests you should release a new record. Information is online at lauramarling.com. You've got one more song for us?
Yes, I'm going to play Held Down.
Ah, fantastic.
I woke up, it was 4 in the morning, clear as all hell that you'd already gone. You know, it's sad, dear, you know I hate to disappear, but the days are short and the nights are getting long. And I just meant to tell you that I don't want to get you wrong. If I think about now with my legs wrapped around you, how many times before have you seen me run? It's a cruel kind of twist that you leave like this. Just drop my wrist and say, well, that's us done. I was just gonna tell you that I don't want to let you down. Get lost in the crowd, seen unseen. Say what you mean, 'cause we all want to be here now, and we all want to be held down. You sent me your book, which I gave half a look, but I just don't care for, and I cannot get through. to writing again, and I'm glad, old friend, I'll make sure you write me out the way you get to. Cause I just want to tell you that I don't like to be let down or get lost in the crowd, to be seen unseen. Dear, you know I hate to disappear, but the days are short and the nights are getting long. And I just mean to tell you that I don't want to let you down. I get lost in the crowd to be seen unseen.
That is Laura Marling. Hell Down is the name of the tune from Song for Our Daughter. Information is online at lauramarling.com. Laura, thanks so much for doing this. It's nice to meet you from a distance.
My pleasure. Hope get to meet you in IRL one day, as they say
yes,
on social media.
Yes, come visit the Shakespeare Festival.
Yes, I'd love to.